This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. What to do for the holidays? Whether you're wondering where you're going to find your Thanksgiving dinner or where to celebrate New Year's, this week's Compass has the inside skinny on where to go and what to do. So now let's go inside the Compass. By the time I arrived at the Port Townsend Food Bank last Wednesday morning, there wasn't a parking space to be found within a city block of the Mountain View Commons, and the hallway between the various storerooms occupied by the all-volunteer operation was lined from end to end with animated clients who gave the weekly food giveaway event the feeling of a festival. I worried that it would be difficult to find Shirley Ross, the program's director for 2 decades, whom I had come to interview about preparations for the upcoming Thanksgiving holiday. But when I walked in the door, I immediately spotted her diminutive form bustling through the crowd. And though I had worried that approaching her on her busiest day of the week to talk about the following week's busiest day of the year might be a lost and forlorn hope, when she learned my purpose, she immediately dropped whatever important task she was engaged in and drew me into a somewhat quieter corner where I was able to ask her my first question about the number of turkeys she had ordered for Thanksgiving week.
We've got 350 turkeys coming in from Arrow Lumber next Monday, and we're going to give them out in the meat section. I've got Officer Bill Corrigan and MIT Professor Earl Merman, and also Aaron Stark handing out the turkeys.
We've got very talented turkey hander outers.
Yes, absolutely. And we, in the areas where we normally have choices, we're going to have a lot of the fixings, the canned vegetables and the stuffing and the broth and all of those sort of things. This week we're giving out things that people can cook with, like figs, dried figs and pumpkin. So it's going to just be a crazy day, and it'll be our busiest day in the entire year.
So next week is the turkeys, and this week is the fixings, it sounds like.
Part of the fixings. The fixings to give people an idea that they've got them so they have time to cook with them, because next Wednesday is the day before Thanksgiving, and if we give them things like pumpkin or figs the day before, they might not realize that they could be using them. So this gives them a chance to think, oh, I can use these for Thanksgiving.
So now, is that the same number of turkeys that you did last year, or is that more turkeys?
I actually cut them back. They gave us 400 last year, but we've got so many vegetarians that I decided to ask them for 350 because they do so much for so many years. Arrow Lumber's probably given us turkeys for the last 10 years, and they give whatever I ask for. And I thought, since we had some left over last year and we've got so many vegetarians and we have good vegetarian roasts for Thanksgiving, that I would cut it back to 350.
So what are the vegetarian roasts? What is that?
I could show you.
Sure, let's look at it. It's cold in here.
Yes.
The vegetarian grain meat celebration roast.
Yeah.
Traditional bread stuffing and mushroom gravy. Wow.
So those will be going out for the vegetarians?
Like about how many do you have?
Enough.
Are we locked in here?
So for anybody who's ever been here on a Thanksgiving handout, it is a long, long wait, and we just hope people are very patient with us. It's a really long day for my volunteers, but we'll do the best that we can.
About how many people did you have last year, do you know?
I think overall we're probably going to serve 400 families between the seniors and the Wednesday crew. Every year we break records on Thanksgiving more than the year before, and we were 400 and something families last year.
How long has the food bank been operating now?
I don't know. It started in a cubby in the church many, many years ago. This is my third location. I was with them at the community center uptown on Lawrence, and then we went behind Ole Cap at what used to be the yurt place, and now here. This is where we're going to stay. This is perfect.
And you've been here for how many years now then?
Oh, I think I'm in my 6th year here. That might not be accurate, but about that.
At this location?
Yes.
But overall, you've been doing this for...
I started in 97.
Wow, 20 years.
Oh, God, yeah.
And about how many volunteers will be helping you next Wednesday?
I have between 90 and 104 volunteers, and I could stop to count it up, but a full stock of people between the quick pick, the double room, the carry out people, the people doing setup in the morning, people doing cleaning afterwards. It's a lot of people.
So, and I gather that on Thanksgiving, I mean, that is like your big day of the year. Is Christmas like second?
Second. Yeah, Christmas is a gift family holiday. It's not a food holiday. So the food holiday being Thanksgiving is by far busier.
And about what percentage uptick do you see on Thanksgiving over just your day, your week-to-week crowd, I should say?
It should have been a slow day last week, and we did 271 families last Wednesday. So I can figure easily 350 families to 375 next week. It was the week after Thanksgiving, about 4 or 5 years ago, that I started doing Senior Saturday, because what should have been a slow day, we had like 20-something new families the week after Thanksgiving. And I realized that we were just so full that I had to separate off the days. So that's when we started doing Senior Saturday. It was February 2nd, back in like 2012 or so.
So you say families. Mm-hmm. Do people have to be a family in order to qualify to come in here and get fixings for a Thanksgiving dinner? I mean, what?
A family can be one person. So what we go by is people go through with a cart. Every cart that goes through is considered a family. It could be one person or it could be 11 people. And we give food based on that. But no, you don't have to be family. Anybody can come get food. What I would ask, though, is that nobody take a turkey unless they absolutely need it. Some people go, oh, yeah, I'll give it to my next-door neighbor. That's not what I want. I want people who need a turkey to take it.
And who will serve a turkey, too.
Who will serve a turkey. Yes. Right. Yes. This isn't just because we're offering it, I'll take it. This is with me cutting it back 50 turkeys from Arrow Lumber. I want to make sure that all of the families that want to sit down and have a turkey dinner get that without people going, yeah, I'll take it.
Right. But at the same time, there's no forms to fill out and like qualifications to make.
No. No. It's hard enough using the food bank without us asking for, you know, are you working? How much do you make? We don't do that. Yes. Hold on. I'm getting a dollar donation from this young man.
Okay.
So this is your own money? Do you realize that this is going to buy 24 pounds of food? Actually, 25 pounds of food with this $1, and I thank you very, very much. That's pretty sweet.
His own money.
25 pounds is $1?
$0.04 a pound. So every dollar is worth 25 pounds of food.
Is that a pounds of a particular kind of food?
Or from Food Lifeline, so it can be anything you see in here.
Really?
So this is our Wheel of Fortune. We get things that are non-food items and that are people either need like deodorant or toothpaste or big things like that. So it's the last place people come, and they can spin, and there's red, white, blue, and one gold. So like being a red, I would get to be able to choose anything off of that far right side, whether it's Lysol or hair conditioner or vitamins or soap. And if they hit a gold, then they could have a wreath or a big thing to clean their car or an ultrasonic essential oil diffuser.
I don't even know what an essential oil diffuser does. I guess it diffuses
makes things smell
oil.
Good.
takes the stress out of your room. We try to get products up here that people would like to have, and they're a little bit more expensive than the things we have down on the table, but these are called our gold products.
I see. Yeah.
So the gentleman's going to get
spin to win. He's going to get reds.
Red.
Pick something from the red section.
But this is fun. And then Yvonne works her little fingers to the bone, giving people pet food.
Oh, dog and cat food. So
because
it's not just the humans.
Because if you can't afford to feed yourself, you can't afford to feed your pet. And what's going to happen is people would give their pets their tuna fish and their food. So what we want to do is provide food for their pets so that they can eat their own food. This is a pet peeve. I've heard people say, well, if you can't afford a pet, you shouldn't have one. But there's the older gal who lives in an apartment, the only thing that's happy to see her come home is her cat. And there's the guys who live out in the woods that their whole family and their protection is their dog. It's necessary. So we can help keep their pets in their home by giving them food.
Now, is this pet food available from the same source as the 25 pounds a dollar? I mean, is that...
It varies. Lately, we've had very good luck with Food Lifeline, which is the 4 cents a pound, right, that I've actually gotten a lot of really good food, organic.
Wow, organic.
Yeah. But occasionally they have it up and then I'll order it. But if they don't have it, I can't order it. And then Yvonne goes and actually purchases it. And we're not allowed to use the money that we get as donations unless it specifies for pet food to buy pet food, because people are expecting that they're feeding humans with their money. So there's a few drives, like Cricket, who does Sound Storage, will do a pet food drive for us once a year, and that brings in a good amount of money. We've had a few different ways that we bring in money just for this, or people can write it on the check and say, this is for pets. So when it doesn't come up at 4 cents a pound, then Yvonne goes and buys it. Was that accurate?
Sounds good to me. We've got a couple of donation jars around town. You know, thank goodness for a couple of the businesses that support us, Penny Saver and Don's Pharmacy. And so when we get low, I can go at least buy a few bags to keep us going for a day. Because I can go through a lot in a day. Sometimes we feed a couple hundred families.
A couple hundred pets.
That has pets, yes. Yeah.
All right, so what else have you got going on that you need to tell me about?
Oh, geez.
And Pont d'Amour gives us bread at twice a week before Senior Saturday and the Wednesday group. And Pont d'Amour is amazing to everybody in town. And then Port Townsend Food Bank, Shirley speaking.
Take food for us. You have a nice day.
Wow. It depends whether you want the clothes to go to the seniors or whether you want it to go to the Wednesday group. Everybody who's not a senior. You bet. Bye-bye, Pam. We also have clothes in the hallway that that Working Image puts together, clothes that they can't use for their programs and leave them in the hallway. And that was a gal wanting to bring clothes in and wondering whether she should do it on... She uses Senior Saturday, whether she should do it on Wednesday or Saturday.
So now let's talk a little bit about Senior Saturday. Mm-hmm. So seniors are welcome to come in on Wednesdays as well. Or they're not.
No.
So
no, because thing is that people from Wednesday can't use Senior Saturdays for people 65 and over only. And one of the reasons that we started Senior Saturday was to take the load of people off of Wednesday. So if a senior uses Wednesday, they need to have a really good reason why they have to use Wednesday instead of Saturday. I strongly urge seniors to use Saturday. And Saturday is so much better of a day for them to go through, because they're doing 87 families in a day where we did 270-something families last week. So they wait a lot less time, and I orchestrate foods for the seniors. They always have very good choices of larger cuts of meat. They get to choose, do they want a steak, do they want a roast? Whereas today we have pepperoni pizza and ground beef to choose for, and vegetarian items. So they have more variety in meats if they're meat eaters, and a lot less weight.
The next day, by previous arrangement, I met in the offices of the Port Townsend Main Street program on the second floor of the historic Baker Building in downtown Port Townsend to talk with Main Street Program Director Mari Mullen, Aldrich's Market owner Scott Rogers, and Olympic Peninsula Steam Director Nathan Barnett to talk about the lineup of public celebrations planned for Port Townsend in the holiday season that is now upon us. That is the sound of Mari Mullen opening her Refresh lemon seltzer water. And we are sitting here at the Main Street office around a table with
Mari Mullen, Executive Director of the Port Townsend Main Street Program.
Scott Rogers, Aldrich's.
Nathan Barnett, Olympic Peninsula Steam.
To talk about the many events that are coming up for the holidays. I mean, here we are. It's the beginning of Thanksgiving week, and we have a poster, a beautiful poster here that features the Haller Fountain Galatea statue with, must be last year's tree, because I know this year's tree is not up yet. So Mari, why don't you give me a little overview of what is happening in Port Townsend for the holidays?
We have really a whole host of fun events planned for the holidays. And this was really a goal for several years through the Lodging Tax Advisory Committee and people who just love the holidays in Port Townsend to extend the window of the holiday fun through the whole month. And so we have partners like Olympic Peninsula Steam who've added in some really exciting events. And we have the Fort has offering some New Year's events. They've got a new party this year on New Year's Eve, and they've got a New Year's brunch, I believe. And so we've just worked with our different partners to kind of expand the holidays past the tree lighting and Santa visit, which it used to kind of pretty much that was the kickoff, and then we didn't really have a lot of events following that. So now you can really just plan to stay in town because all the fun is right here.
So, but that tree lighting celebration is something that I know that everybody looks forward to. So that is happening on December 2nd.
Yes, Santa is starting his world tour in Port Townsend on December 2nd. Yes, and he's the merriest fellow you will ever meet, and he is coming on the Kiwanis Choo Choo train, and he will be at the Haller Fountain at 4:30 to light the tree and then visit with children afterwards at the Pope Marine Building. But we have a lot of fun planned that day. The merchants have open houses and treats in the stores and are open later, and the Wild Rose Chorale will sing downtown from 1 to 3 on December 2nd. And it's gallery walk that night, art walk, and so it's just going to really be a fun day.
And Scott, what sort of plans does Aldrich's have for this holiday season?
Well, this year, the gingerbread house contest is coming back to Aldrich's after a one-year hiatus, and we're really looking forward to that. We're going to see what we can do to expand on it and have a lot more fun with it, have some new categories, and just try to open it up.
So what are the details? How do people like enter the contest? Just make a gingerbread house and bring it over?
Pretty much. What we're going to do is we're going to start taking gingerbread houses in on December 1st. Then we will have the judging. It would be the 16th, I believe, we'll have the judging. And as I said, we'll have a lot of different, a lot of new categories. We're going to try to emphasize the small kids and give the big kids and adults a greater opportunity to play.
So the 16th is the judging, but people who bring their gingerbread house in on the 16th will be too late, I gather.
We will have a cutoff date of the 14th, and the judging will be on the 16th. So yes, anything after the 14th will not be eligible for judging. The upstairs will have all of the gingerbread houses, and it'll be open to the public.
Oh, they're not going to be in the front window the way they used to be.
No, because we're really hoping to have a lot more. We really do want to expand this. So we're going to have the entire upstairs. We'll have long tables set up so that people can bring them in and walk around and enjoy them for the 2 weeks. And then we'll have the judging, and everyone can take their gingerbread houses home.
Do you know for a fact that there are certain entries to be made? Or is it still a mystery to you who's going to be
coming? It's all a mystery. It's all going to be a mystery. We haven't even come up with the categories or publicize this at all yet. This is our first year of hosting this, so we're probably a little behind the eight ball, but we're going to have fun with it anyway.
Any other Aldrich's holiday-related plans?
Well, first week in December, we're going to put up a big tree, and we're really hoping to have the community involved in that, bringing in decorations and hanging them. As with everything that Aldrich's does now, we want to make it community-centric and have the community participate in the tree decorating and the decorating of the store.
All right, now, moving across the table to Nathan. So what kind of plans does Olympic Steam have for us?
Well, this year, Olympic Peninsula Steam will be hosting the open parlor tours once again. We're really looking forward to that. It's been a tradition for I don't know how many years, long before I was here. But Olympic Peninsula Steam picked it up, I think 3-4 years ago, and we wanted to bring it back. So we'll have 4 or 5 homes and businesses on the tours, and guests will be able to purchase tickets online. Tickets are available at op-s.net, ops.net/Yule. So there'll be open parlor tours during the day running from 1 to 4 o'clock on Saturday, December 16th. And then in the evening, we have the Brass Yule Ball, which will be bringing Olympic Express Big Band back up from Olympia, and they'll be playing at the Legion Hall, and we'll have our favorite Victorian Father Christmas and probably that wicked Krampus running around causing mischief all evening. Santa will also be offering nice passes to make up for any of those naughty deeds you may be regretting at this point.
Sorry, give me the date on that again.
That's December 16th. The ball starts at 7 p.m., and also tickets available online.
Thanks. And so let's go on down and look at this list of events here and see what we've been missing. Well, it starts right off at the top on November 24th, this Friday, Black Friday, with the slogan, "Let the shopping begin." Is anything special happening on Black Friday?
No, that's the day we do the window contest judging. So we have judges go around and look at all the windows and then present awards. But it's really just the kickoff of local shopping. And we just really encourage people to, you know, keep their dollars in town. And when they buy locally, they're really supporting their friends and neighbors. And you're really showing that you care about your community. So, you know, when you shop in town, you're showing you love your town as well. There are just literally thousands of gift ideas in Port Townsend, so Black Friday's the kickoff for that.
There certainly are. It's one of my favorite things. I try to buy all of my Christmas gifts right here in Port Townsend. Something that I like to do is to try and, you know, sending out all of these gift packets to my family and friends. And I like to go around and buy, like, locally made soaps and teas and jams and things and send those off for my Christmas gifts. Okay, and then on November 25th, we have the Main Street Small Business Saturday and Merchant Open House.
Yes, and the Wild Rose Corral will be uptown and downtown from 2 to 4 on that day, singing on the street, and that's always a lot of fun, and they always dress in their Victorian outfits and very popular with people. People do sing-alongs with them, and it's just going to be a fun day. And then the merchants have refreshments in the stores, and they're open later till 7 p.m. And you could buy a Main Street ornament there as well. I might as well mention while we're here, this is a great gift idea for a stocking stuffer.
Yeah, that's the fire bell, the fire tower.
Fire bell tower.
Yeah.
And those are created by the artist created by Jolene Sunding, who's a local artist in town. And so those are on sale at a number of stores, and you can see the list at ptmainstreet.org, where you can buy the ornaments. And then the funds generated from that go back into the holiday promotion.
And then over here you have sleigh bells.
Yes, we have sleigh bells available for stores that would like them. And we would give these to KPTZ as a little present. And what else? I just want to say that the holidays is really made possible by generous sponsors like First Federal and KPTZ and The Leader and SOS Printing and Enjoy Port Townsend and the City of Port Townsend. And we just really, you know, can make the dollars go farther and buy the advertising and do the events with the help of all those kind folks. And the ornaments on the tree were made by Port Townsend school children. There's handmade ornaments, but that's kind of fun when the tree goes up week after next. It's fun to check out the kids' ornaments.
And then moving on down the calendar, we have the Main Street Tree Lighting Celebration on December 2nd that we just mentioned, and that is once again kicking off at, the tree lighting is actually happening at 4:30, is that
what you said? Santa kind of rounds the bend at 4:30, and it's good to be in place by then, because parking
and even getting a spot to stand there. It's really generally standing room only. That's one of the most popular events in town. The whole town turns out for that, it seems. Okay, and then December 9th and 16th is the Main Street Kiwanis Choo Choo Rides. So that same Choo Choo is going to be in town for the next couple of weekends.
Yes, and you meet across from the museum. Can't really miss it. And it goes from 1 to 4 p.m., and it's $5 per person suggested donation. And then the money raised from that goes back into the Arts of the School program. So it goes to the Teaching Artist program and to buy art supplies for the kids. So it's a little fundraiser for them.
And then December 16th is the Open Parlor Tools and Yuletide Brass Ball from Olympic Peninsula Steam, previously mentioned. And then December 31st is the first night celebration of the Jefferson County Historical Society. And are you going to have the lowering of the anchor again this year?
Oh,
it's the raising of the anchor.
Raising of the anchor at 9 p.m. with fireworks. Oh. Yes. That is a very fun event for all ages. And they have theater and they have musicians, and it takes place in a number of venues at that end of town, and it's just a lot of fun for families.
Fresh information today, Olympic Peninsula Steam is helping sponsor those fireworks. We're really excited to be a part of that this year. So I think we're going to have some staff down there as well. I'm looking forward to learning how to blow things up.
And then finally, December 31st, right through to January 1st, is New Year's at Fort Worden. Now, what is that going to involve? Do we know?
You know, I really would just encourage people to go to their website at fortworden.org. I know they're planning a New Year's party, New Year's Eve party, and then I believe you can have a New Year's brunch as well. And so the fort is something that they're adventuring into this year. And so I just would recommend people go to the website. And the other thing we would like to just tell people about is Spirit of the Yule, which is a wonderful original Port Townsend version of a Christmas carol that Key City Public Theater puts on. And it starts November 30th and goes through December 23rd. And that is just really a blast if you haven't had a chance to go.
It's a holiday tradition now, because this is actually the second year, right?
It's an award-winning tradition. They won best play in the County area last year, and it is so much fun. It's lighthearted. There are a lot of original, well, the whole thing is original, but every year they're going to be writing new songs and new cast, so there's something to see every year, and it really should be a Port Townsend tradition. I always grew up going to see the Nutcracker, and I'd much rather go see this every year than see the Nutcracker every year.
It's sort of a local version of Dickens'
Christmas Carol.
Christmas Carol, yes.
It is,
and quite funny. I saw it last year, and I plan to go again this year. Well, I want to thank you all for taking the time out of your very busy schedules for this, and I want to wish you all happy holidays.
Thank you, and you
too.
Well.
Now, for those of you who don't have the means or will to cook your own dinner and still don't know what you're going to do right now this week for Thanksgiving, there are options that will cost you nothing while at the same time throwing you into some serious community. First, there is Thanksgiving dinner at the Boiler Room, located right downtown on Water Street in Port Townsend, which will serve a dinner midday to all comers composed of food items gathered by a team of bicyclists from the recyclery, who in a scavenger event on Saturday titled Cranksgiving, pedaled around town and spent their own money to provide ingredients for the meal. And then there will be the traditional Thanksgiving dinner at the Tri-Area Community Center in Chimicum, served from noon until 3 p.m. The cooks for that meal will also provide Thanksgiving dinners to the Emergency Winter Shelter, located in the basement of Port Townsend's American Legion Hall at the corner of Water Street and Monroe. This is Steve Evans reporting for KPTZ Community Radio News. This week's KPTZ Compass was written and produced by Steve Evans. You can listen to podcasts of past Compass programs at the kptz.org website, where you can also stream KPTZ live 24 hours a day. For the news team here at KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, I'm Steve Evans.